Hey, 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 this is Cammie Pentecost Dempsey, and you are listening to another episode of What Leaders Do. I am so happy that you have joined us for today's episode because we have a very special guest with us today. Denise Walsh, we met at Bible study, very much a divine appointment. We co-authored our very first book together, Retire Your Husband. You are a top income earner at It Works Global, mom of two redheaded boys, happily married, and one of my very best friends. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely, Cammie. I'm excited to be here.
So, Denise, today we're going to talk about expanding your network and what it means to take 100% responsibility over your business and honestly over your life, right? I really can't think of anybody better to join me for this topic. So, Denise, why don't you start off by sharing some of your story and telling us a little bit about what it means to you to take 100% responsibility?
Well, thank you so much, Cammie, for having me here today. My name is Denise Walsh, and prior to It Works, I was a clinical psychologist, and I got into the field of clinical psychology because I wanted to work with and help people. I have a heart for people and helping them become all that they're created to be. And I thought psychology was my roadmap to do that, when in fact I got into that field and I realized it was more about policy, paperwork, and procedure, and less and less and less about people. And I felt stuck. And I don't know how many people listening are in that place right now where, you know, it was like, I don't really like what I'm doing, but I don't know what else to do. And I started to slowly, I kind of call it dying inside or kind of becoming a zombie, living for the weekends, not really engaging, and certainly not living in my passion. But what I have learned is that if I want something different, I have to do something different. And this is where I really started taking a look at what do I want my life to look like? You know, what do I want? What is my ideal day? What do I want to accomplish? Who do I want to be? And I got really clear and excited about that. And I knew that in order to achieve those things, I had to take full responsibility for everything I was doing.
So how does this idea of 100% responsibility apply to your success in owning a home-based business? And how can we use this to get more results?
So in order to take 100% responsibility, you have to give up three things. Now, this is 100% responsibility in your life, in your finances, in your health, your relationships, all of it, right? Because if we don't impact those things, who does? So when you take 100% responsibility, you have to give up three things. You need to give up complaining. You know, you think of complaining. Complaining is often something, or venting, right? We often think that it helps to get things off our chest, when in fact we're not solving the problem when we do that. We complain to the wrong person, we're complaining to the boss about the wife, or complaining to the wife about the boss. You know what I mean? We're often complaining to the wrong person and nothing actually changes. The other thing is you give up excuse making. So making excuses. And this is something I think it's really easy to do. It's a trap that you can fall into. Well, I want that, but I want this to be different, but, and it kind of puts us in that victim spot. So when you give up excuse making or making excuses, you realize that if you're making an excuse, it's really not that I have a priority for you, or you have got to figure out a way to make it a higher priority so you'll begin to take action. And then the last thing you need to give up when you are taking 100% responsibility is blaming. You know, I really like this one because, again, it's putting power in someone else's hand. If you're blaming somebody else for your results, then you're giving them the power, when in fact you're the one that ate the brownie. You're the one that didn't get up in the morning to do your workout. You're the one that has, you know, chose that job or chose that spouse or whatever the case may be. So taking 100% responsibility means we give up those three things. So if you are blaming, complaining, or making excuses, then that just means you're not taking 100% responsibility. So for me, if I notice now that I'm blaming, complaining, or making an excuse, I know that I need to ask myself some questions. And those questions are like, what do I really want? And what can I do, say, or change to make it happen? And once I figure that out, I can move forward. And I think for a lot of people who are stuck, figuring out what you really want and getting excited about it, and what you, the role you have in order to make things happen, is often the first step.
So it's interesting, Denise, because I often say you're in business for yourself, but you are not by yourself. And that's very different than leaning on somebody else for your success. You know, when somebody joins your team and if they're not having the success they want and they blame their lack of success on you, right? And I do believe in such a thing as being a mentor and being a coach. And I believe that's something we can do to impact their business. But at the end of the day, their business is their complete responsibility. But here's one thing I know. When I say you're in business for yourself, but you're not by yourself, it's because one of the biggest excuses or fears I hear from people when they're considering doing a business like this before is they've never done anything like this. So what will they do? And I don't know if I know enough people. So what do you tell someone that says to you, I don't think I know enough people to do this business?
Yeah, I hear that all the time as well. I mean, the common objections or fears are honestly just that, they're common, because most people getting started in a business like this have those same thoughts or fears because this is new for them. And what I know is that this business isn't about who you know right now. It's about who you're willing to meet. You know, I say it's not about who you know, it's about who they know. So it's about building your network, finding new friends. I love that I get paid to make new friends. I get paid to stay healthy and make new friends and help my friends get healthy too. And so it really is just about building that network, getting outside of yourself, finding new groups of people and getting in front of them. And Facebook, social media, Instagram has made it so much easier these days to build that network, even just from your phone.
Okay, so that's interesting because I know you just competed in your first bodybuilding competition. I guarantee that opened up a whole group of new friends for you, right? Mm-hmm. More contacts and obviously a whole new world now that you're into, and it may not be called bodybuilding, but that's what it looked like to me. And I think, gosh, look at all the people you're exposing yourself to now through that hobby, right? Something that you're doing for yourself, but now it's opening you and exposing you to a ton of new people. I mean, obviously we can build our network through Facebook. We can build our network through the various social media. You can have a YouTube channel and provide content and value that are going to increase your following and help you meet new people. You can join meetups. You can go to networking events. You can put a booth up at a trade show or an expo. Every time we have a wrap party, we're meeting new people. But I think what I love most about this business is that I get paid to actually be a good friend and make new friends. And part of that is exploring my hobbies. So I'll never forget when I felt like my list was getting thin. I felt like I had talked to everybody on my list. I'd been in the business for about 3 years. I joined a volleyball league. And I joined a volleyball league an hour outside of my own town because I thought that way I'll really meet new people. Otherwise, I might run into some of the same old people. I know we've started Bible studies when we felt like we were running out of contacts. You and I started a meetup group together. Remember that? We started our own personal development meetup group. What are some other ways that, or ways you enjoy building your list?
You know, I do a little bit of everything. Certainly social media, finding, you know, with the bodybuilding experience I just had, I'm now in all of these different groups on Facebook. So building relationships, not just posting in the group, but engaging in the group and asking questions and answering questions and being a part of the community has helped to build my network. Asking for referrals has helped me as well, because I'm saying, if you don't necessarily want this, or if you're not ready, do you know anybody who is? Because again, it's not about who I know, it's about who I meet and who they know. So I want to expand that as well. I've done expos, trade shows, live videos on Facebook really are gaining traction right now. And the goal, you guys, is to draw people into conversation. So we are not push marketing where we're saying, come buy from us. You know, we're drawing people in through relationship, through conversation, through being somebody that people want to hang around. And I found that being a good friend has been my biggest asset.
Well, you know, I want to pause for a minute because obviously when you're doing, for example, the bodybuilding shows, you're meeting people at those events. But like you said, now you're in these groups. When you're posting about what you're eating, I also know you're drawing people that are maybe, is that something I want to do? It, you know, could that be for me? Oh my gosh, I've always thought about doing that. Did you get people just reaching out to you to ask you questions about your diet, about your exercise program? I mean, did you find that you had random people starting to engage on your page?
Absolutely. People want progress, period. And so when they see somebody else making progress, they want to know how to achieve that as well. So I was sharing my journey loudly on Facebook. I was talking about the ups and downs, the meal prepping, the supplements I was taking, the exercises. I mean, I was being loud about my journey, and people wanted to follow that. So more people engaged on my page, but then they also certainly were private messaging and being like, okay, tell me everything. How are you doing it?
Well, I saw you put out, I mean, you were inspiring me. I saw you putting out recipes. I saw like what you were doing with the protein powder. And I was like, I didn't even know that was possible. And I've been marketing this protein powder for 10 years. You know, I've always said people follow people who know where they're going. And the Bible says where there is no vision, people perish. And I think the mark of a leader, the mark of a legendary leader is one who has vision. And I know you said before, I'm just a worker and I'm not necessarily a visionary. But Denise, I think your life would say differently, because just what you did chasing your own personal dreams of doing something, stretching yourself. We always talk about getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. I guarantee becoming a bodybuilder and training like you did for 6 months, 9 months was not easy.
Yeah, absolutely. It was one of the toughest things I've ever done. And I've run 2 marathons. Like I'm a goal getter. So I like to set out a goal and go chase after it. And with a marathon, you run in the morning and then you can do whatever you want. But with this training, it impacted so much because it's really all about, your food and, but I learned so much, you know what I mean? And I think that creating a new brain cell and having a fun hobby that I was able to engage and learn and really grow in helped my business in a lot of different ways.
Well, before we shift into how we start contacting people from our list as we're building our list, I do want to say this, because I truly believe the mark of a legendary leader is one who is comfortable with being uncomfortable, because what we're doing is we're constantly pushing our limits. So my question to you that are listening today is, when is the last time you did something for the first time? Because if you're not exercising that stretch muscle, then chances are you're not growing in leadership. And again, people follow people who know where they're going. People follow people who are constantly taking that step of action and pushing themselves beyond their limits. It's contagious. And so, Denise, I look at that as you're someone that's always pushing your limits. You're someone that's always leading by example. And I guarantee you do something on a regular basis to be uncomfortable, to push yourself out past your limits.
You know, what's funny is I think people sometimes think, oh, I'm nervous, I shouldn't do it. Or I feel anxiety, that means I shouldn't do it. And I think the exact opposite, because if I'm not feeling excited or anxious or nervous about something, the flip side of that for me is bored.
Yes.
So I'm like, if I don't feel that excitement, then I feel, or, you know, I flip it from anxiety to excitement, but then I'm bored and I want to always be growing. So I think that we can flip it in our mind. It's not butterflies because I'm anxious or fearful. It's butterflies because this is something new and different, and I'm going to learn through it. And then pretty soon it's going to be so easy that it becomes boring, and then you'll have to push yourself in a new way.
That's right. It's interesting, because I know you've heard it say comfort and change cannot coexist. And I believe our listeners are here because they want to constantly take it to the next level. I mean, it's one thing to be a leader. It's another thing to be a great leader. But what we're talking about is legendary leadership. And to me, that's somebody who is constantly pushing themselves beyond their capacity. And again, if you're comfortable, then chances are you're not growing. And for me, a huge value for me is growth. And how can I constantly be pushing myself to be better? So knowing that you're always adding to your list and growing your list, even almost 10 years into your home-based business, what are some ways in which you contact people that you have on that list? What are some of your ways to reach out to people about products or business?
So I'm certainly responding to anyone who likes or comments on my page.
Okay.
And engaging with people who are engaging with me. And even if it's as simple as saying, hey, how are you? And starting the conversation, it doesn't have to be a script certainly you don't want it to be too long. You just want it to be genuine. So I'll often ask people, once I've built that rapport a little bit and built that relationship, I'll use that third-party tool. So that means it's a video that we have that I can link them to so they can learn a bit more, and I'd love to talk to them afterwards. Or a three-way call with another leader on my team. We do a virtual party every single week within our team, and so it's an easy way to say, oh my gosh, you want to learn more information? Can I invite you to this virtual party? And so using these third-party tools where they're seeing before and after pictures, they're seeing success stories, they're seeing things that are not just from me, but from other people experiencing success in the business has been really, really helpful. And then one of my favorite ways, Cami, right now to build relationships with people is to use the Facebook voice messenger, because I'm driving all the time and it's so easy to just do a little message, and they hear my passion, they hear my excitement. So not only can I do it while I'm running errands or picking up the kids from school and within my normal everyday, but they hear my passion and excitement too. And I think that's a great connector piece.
Well, okay, so I love that. I'm going to build on that for a minute. I love that when you send them a message on Messenger, they actually can, you can see when they've read it, or you can see that they haven't read it. Because I know sometimes when I reach out to somebody and they don't respond, I'm like, oh, what did I do wrong? Or how did, you know, what could I do differently to get them to respond to me? Sometimes they do see it and they don't respond. But I think instead of feeling like it's personal, think they're busy. Maybe they read it while they were in the line dropping off a child at school. So chances of them being able to get right back, and then life is busy, and so it just might have slipped through their mind. So don't be afraid to reach right back out and go, hey, were you able to hear my message? I'd love to connect, or somehow re-engage. Don't overthink it and don't take it personal. I will tell you, Denise, I love that voice messenger, but I actually love Dave Messenger too. Have you seen that new? So Facebook is trying, they're not trying, they are doing the Snapchat in their own way. And what I love about that is there's been a couple times where I take a picture of myself and I might write something on there silly, like, did you forget about me? Or do you remember me? Because sometimes I wonder if they don't remember my face, or, you know, we're meeting people all the time. And the other thing I was going to say, Denise, when I send a Facebook Messenger, especially with a brand new contact, as long as we're already connected on Facebook, especially, I'll go like and comment on a few of their posts. So I'm popping up in their feed in a few different ways. And then I find that if I'm commenting, not just liking on their posts, they're actually going to see my feed as well. So if I'm doing a good job of being consistent and positive on my own social media, whether they're ready to engage with me or not yet, we're going to continue to build that relationship, even if it's informally. So that's been another way that I've used that. But yeah, that's one of my favorite ways, I think, to reach out to people and get to know them. And I would say, if you're reaching out to somebody and you just met them, check out their social media. You know, don't ask them if they have kids if their whole social media is filled with them and two children. You know what I mean? That's the biggest, that you're not doing your homework, and this isn't about people to you. This is just about numbers. And I don't know about you, Denise, but how do you feel about, I mean, obviously this is a numbers game. The more people you connect with, the more seeds you plant, the greater return on investment. But I believe there's an element of relationship that plays a huge role into that. What do you think?
Well, people buy people before they even buy product. And we know that people will sign up and join because they like you, they want to help you, they want to engage with you. And I think if we're not people first, then we're missing the boat. So absolutely, this truly is all about building that rapport. And in my opinion, I feel like half my job is about pouring belief, because so many people right now are stuck in that place where they go, I don't like what I'm doing, but I don't know what else to do. And they have those common fears and objections that are paralyzing them from taking that next step. And so my role is to help pour belief that they can do it, pour belief that this is for them, that really anybody can experience success. They just have to have that hunger and drive. So I help cast the vision to prospects about what this company can truly do for them. And then I still am doing that with new distributors who aren't quite in yet, you know, or they've got one toe in. I'm like, belief, 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 because I know what they don't know, what they don't know. And I know how this company truly can impact lives and how amazing our products are. And so I'm constantly pouring in that belief and teaching them how to dream again.
Well, and it's that conviction in your voice and that passion that you're right. When they hear that on Messenger, they're like, at least I deserve to hear more about this. Because at the end of the day, they don't have to do it, but they deserve to know about it. And that's the goal, is to find more people that we can introduce to what we do. And with that being said, Denise, you're going on almost 10 years in the business, right? Because I'm on 11 years right now. And what I have noticed is I thought I had exhausted my warm market. So as we're talking about building our network, I love what you said when you said it's not even about who you know, it's about who they know. So again, yes, it's about meeting new people, but it's also about getting involved with the circle of friends of your friends' friends, right? And I was thinking about this because 2 years ago when our company introduced that new position we could build, my first group of people that I brought into that organization were all people that I had known over my past that I had just not dug deep enough when I was originally putting together my list of contacts. And so how do you teach and help your team to dig deeper into that list?
When they first get started, we focus on their 30s list. I actually just met with a new distributor yesterday, and we met at Panera, and we said, all right, think about school, high school, college, sports groups, church groups, work, different workplaces you've been in, you know, different hobbies you have. Just think about all these different places. And she just wrote a list of names. And then we started reaching out to them. So I sat with her there in Panera, and we messaged them together. I helped her with her message, and she pressed send. And even though she was scared, she did it. But then once, you know, you get the ball rolling, people still will come to your mind. I mean, think of your dental hygienist or someone that you see consistently, but maybe not all the time. Think of, you know, you just one name leads to the other. And so the goal isn't to prejudge people. The goal is to just write their names down and let them decide for themselves whether they want to use a product for you, book a party with you, become a distributor and join your team, or pray for you. They can support your business in a lot of different ways. So we also ask for referrals. So you think of that first group, continue to ask for referrals because they might think of people that you forgot of. But I know 10 years in, I've got a whole yearbook of people that I can still be connecting with. And I do know, I mean, I had family members watch me for quite a while because they wanted to know if I was serious. They wanted to know if I was going to stick with it. And it took me paving the way for them to jump on board finally. So if your warm market doesn't jump on board immediately, that's okay. Mine certainly didn't. And they signed up when I turned ambassador and I knew more of what I was doing. So I do feel like it always works out. But keep adding to that list. When somebody jogs into your mind, that's on purpose. I've had several stories of people who I was thinking about, you know, and like, oh, I haven't thought about them in a while. How are they doing? And one of the girls, I thought about her, and then I thought, oh, but I don't know her new last name. There's no way I could find her on Facebook. And I didn't reach out. And she ended up joining this business under a different person. And I saw her at an event, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad you're here. This is awesome. And I said, why didn't you reach out to me? And she said, because you never asked. And I had been thinking about her, and I now know that I can't take that lightly. I can't take that lightly. There's another girl that happened to where I started just thinking about her, and I messaged her and connected, and she said, you know what? I've been dreaming about you. She said, I know that if I don't make a change, my job is going to change me, and I need to do something different. And so she joined our team as well. So I've learned to reach out, and even if I just say, you keep popping in my mind, and I've learned not to ignore that. How are you doing? And just start building that rapport and asking them if they're interested in making extra money or wherever they are in life, because it's not for a lot. Like, it's for a reason. Absolutely.
Well, and I've even thought about the people that I thought, oh, they make so much money. I see how they live. They're not struggling. And it's those people that you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, how tight their money is, how in debt over their head they are, or even just quality of time. Maybe they make all the money they could ever want to make, but they don't own their time. And so I love that. Don't pre-qualify anybody. Continue to keep digging. And Denise, you're so right. When you say, just because we're putting together that warm list, that doesn't mean that's going to be the people that get your business off the ground and running. I'm thankful for the fact that I went out and actually felt like I got to practice sometimes with people I didn't know, because my warm list was not supportive in the beginning. And so I really did have to go out and make new friends. Well, now your kids are getting into school. So just think of all the new people you're going to be meeting. And I think of, you know, every time my kids are on a new team, it's a whole new group of moms that I get to be friends with. I think of, you know, every travel ball team they're on, that's a whole new group of friends I get to be involved with. And I think more now than ever, we get paid to be the best volunteer, to be involved in our kids' classrooms. So maybe you don't have kids. get involved in church groups, get involved in a volleyball league, whatever it is that you are interested in. That is the kind of people that you're going to meet and build your list with as you get involved in those things. So Denise, if you had one thing to leave our listeners with, one last tip on our topic for today, what would that be?
I love that you, when you say people follow people who know where they're going. And if you are to take 100% responsibility of your life, finances, relationships, health, etc., then you need to know what you want. And I think that is what holds people back most of the time, is because how can you go anywhere if you don't know what you want? So I truly challenge everybody out there to take a minute and really think about where you want to be in the next 3, 5, 10 years. What do you want your life to look like? What do you want your relationships to look like? What do you want your mom life to look like? Your business life, your spouse, you know, life, like all these different aspects of our life. Because I believe we truly can be a 10 in every single aspect of our life. We don't have to strive in one area and suffer in another. We just have to be intentional. And so the first step of that is really getting clear about what we want and then getting excited about it. Because when that vision connects with your emotion, you know, I have people say, oh my gosh, it's going to be super hard to do this. Like, well, then it's going to be super hard. Because if you think it's going to be hard, it's going to be hard. Mm-hmm. And when you think it's going to be easy, it's going to be easy. So if you get that clear picture in your mind and then you connect it with your emotions of, oh my gosh, this is going to be fun. I'm going to meet so many like-minded people who are goal-focused. I mean, you connect it with what you really want. The sky's the limit, Cammy. The sky's the limit. And most people aren't doing that. And that's what separates you from the pack.
Well, they say 15% of people actually write down their goals. And out of those 15%, 85% accomplish those goals. Writing down your goals and what you want. I love you saying getting a clear vision. If you feel like you don't have one, just start journaling. Denise, you taught me this. What's your dream day look like? From the minute you wake up to the minute you go to bed, what fills every space in between? Where are you? What are you doing? What are you eating? Who are you with? That's a dream day. That will help you start with that list of what do you want and what do you want to do? What do you want to accomplish? I love that. And I couldn't agree more. And I think just when I've done a good job with that, it challenges me. I need to sit down, revisit that and see how things might have shifted for me. And then again, you're challenging us to life and death is in the power of the tongue. What we think about is what we bring about. So is it going to be hard or is it going to be easy? Is it going to be fun or is it going to be painful? You know, you get to decide. And, you know, Denise, one of the things that I love about you so much is your commitment to just learning. And this last year, I know you had an opportunity to study and learn from Jack Canfield himself, a part of a special group of people, and got some great training. And I think that's probably what draws me to keep you as one of my inner circle people, is you challenge me to push myself in areas of my life where I'm not where I want to be. And so I love that about you. And I'm just so glad that you had some time for us today to just teach us a little bit about how to take 100% responsibility, what that looks like, and then also how to apply that to our business, and then how to use that to grow our list. Because at the end of the day, while I might be in business for myself, I'm not by myself, but that doesn't mean you're going to build it for me. That means you're going to support me. You're going to cheer me on. You're going to teach me and coach me in ways in which to take more responsibility for the results that I want. One last thing, Denise, before we close it out, I love this story because I think this will help people understand what you mean. You tell this story about driving in Michigan and being so cold and going, you know, trying to unpack this idea of being 100% responsible for every area of your life. Can you tell us that story?
Absolutely. So I did get a chance to hang out with Jack Canfield this past year. He wrote Success Principles and Chicken Soup for the Soul. And they say success leaves clues. And so it's faster when you learn from a master. So if you want something, go find people who have done it and you can kind of follow their path. And I was listening to the Success Principles in my car one snowy afternoon, and I was listening, learning about 100% responsibility, and I thought, Jack, I've got you, okay? I do not have any control of the weather. I cannot decide if it's going to snow or be sunny or whatever, so I have the right to complain about that. And Jack, in my little head, you know, he was like, but you choose to live here. And I think it's so true. I cannot complain about the snow if I choose to live in Michigan. If I'm going to complain about it, then I need to do something about it, which means move. So if I'm choosing to live here, then I, you know, it comes with all of these things. And I think that was a big aha moment, that when you are complaining, blaming, or making excuses, that's really a good chance for you to look inside yourself and say, well, I chose this.
And what needs to change? How can I make it different? So we have full control over that. I love that. What a great story to leave us with. Thank you so much for joining us today, Denise.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
I am so happy that you joined us for today's episode. If you're enjoying this podcast, I would love to see you subscribe and leave your review on iTunes. Until next time, get out there and do what leaders do. Be legendary.